brothers and sisters and Sunday school scholars and guests. This final vision found in Zechariah 14 commences with a dark picture of war and siege, spoil, violence, and bloodshed. It concludes with a glorious scene of triumph and victory as Yahweh's power is recognized throughout the earth. A remarkable victory outside Jerusalem, tremendous upheavals of nature, a transformed world unified by a common rule and a common worship, a common ideal. All this provides the foundation of the glorious millennial reign of Jesus the Christ. Jerusalem will become the center of transformation. In Jerusalem, there will be established a temple even more glorious than that of Zerubbabel. To this temple, all nations will ascend in worship, where they will see a city completely dedicated and given over to Yahweh. It will be an atmosphere of holiness to God, holiness to Yahweh, in the glorious vision of the future. In this vision, Zechariah was shown the ultimate result of all the labors at that time. Although the temple that the Jews were building at that time would be overthrown, and the nation that was then being formed would again be scattered, and although the enemy would temporarily be triumphant, with this vision, the Jews could work and labor in hope, with the sure and certain conviction that Yahweh's purpose would ultimately be realized, and His glory would flood the earth as the waters cover the sea. The glorious consummation revealed in this last chapter of Zechariah's prophecy is nothing less than the fulfillment of the gospel preached to faithful Abraham. And I might note that Israel's history is the key to prophecy. There are many types and shadows and parallels throughout that can guide us as we study these different prophecies. In this last chapter, we see that Jerusalem will fall to the Russian invasion. We can find much information in connection with this vision in Ezekiel 38, Daniel 11, Joel chapter 3, Revelation 16. There's much information found in Be Transformed, Volume 2, in the last chapter where it talks about the last terrible 40 years, and also in Eureka. This chapter is also connected with Zechariah chapter 9, which we already had remarks on earlier this week by Brother Mark Dilla, as well as Daniel chapter 11. The king of the north shall sweep down in a lightning attack on Egypt, and then due to tidings out of the east and north, which would probably be Christ and the saints, he will make his way up to Jerusalem to besiege the city. Jerusalem will fall and the Jews will be taken into captivity or be driven from the city. At this point of Russian aggression and success, God's intervention will bring about their defeat and upset Russia's plan for world domination. Yahweh will bring all nations to Jerusalem to judgment. The city which witnessed the crucifixion of the Messiah at the hands of the Jews and Gentiles will also witness firsthand the manifestation of His glory. Such a crisis as this must needs take place in order to humble the Jewish people in preparation for them to recognize Christ as their Messiah and to also be elevated as God's favored people. An attack will be made on the city of Jerusalem, and half of it shall be destroyed, although it is strongly defended. The fall of Jerusalem will be a cause of great despair to the Jews. And in this time of great trouble, a time of trouble that will involve all nations, two-thirds will be destroyed and one-third left upon Christ's arrival. Verse 3 brings us on a time of complete despair for Israel, when all shall seem to be lost and the enemy appears to be brutally triumphant. At this time, Jesus will manifest Himself with the immortalized saints as the multitudinous Christ. They shall go from their place of concealment at Mount Sinai to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. In the past, we have seen Yahweh went forth before the armies of Israel as their commander, and at this time, He will do so in the person of His Son, Jesus, His anointed. Once again, the earth will witness manifestations of God's power, the power of Yahweh, as it did in the past. The world as we know it will be turned upside down and its very foundations shaken. His heavenly angelic host with Christ, at this time He will do so through a multitudinous body, the multitudinous Christ man, clothed upon with divine nature, made equal unto the angels. At verse 4, Jesus shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, and the mountains shall cleave in the midst, in part to the east and the other part to the west, creating a great valley running north and south. This great earthquake will violently change the geography of the whole land. This takes place in the midst of a land that is overtaken by the northern host and all its armies encamped throughout the land with Israel under their power. Christ and the saints shall come to their rescue. They will present themselves in appearance as other men by withholding or restraining their glory that would cause them to shine with blinding light, and it would upset their efforts in bringing God's judgments upon the wicked, upon the enemies of Israel. The earthquake will also open up a tremendous stream of water that will flow from Mount Zion to the east. These waters will heal the water of the Dead Sea. This river shall divide and flow to the Mediterranean Sea as well, possibly creating a lake in the Jordan Valley. This is the beginning of the kingdom of God on earth. Jesus will at this time begin His reign as King over the whole earth. Jerusalem and Mount Zion shall be exalted as the throne of the great King, and there shall be no more destruction. It will be a blessing instead of a cursing. At verse 12, Israel's enemies shall be overthrown. The manifestation of Yahweh's great power and the destruction of the nations sounds somewhat like we might think of nuclear power, nuclear weapons. And the prophet Zechariah speaks of Christ's enemies being consumed away while they stand on their feet. And this shall cause a great tumult. It says, every man's hand will be against his brother. At verse 16 begins the millennial worship. Everyone that is left of all nations shall come up to Jerusalem to worship and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. A great temple shall be erected in Jerusalem for this very purpose. It shall be a house of prayer for all nations. There shall be a mortal Levitical priesthood and a higher immortal priesthood called the Sons of Zadok. The mortal priests will prepare the offerings, and the sons of Zadok will present the offerings prepared by those mortal priests. Jesus will officiate as high priest and king, and He will present the burnt offerings and peace offerings and reinstitute the Passover, and thus animal sacrifices shall once again be required. It may be asked why sacrifice should be reinstituted in the millennial age under Christ. If we look back and remember under the law of Moses, all these sacrifices pointed forward to Christ and taught that the wages of sin is death, and that all men sin and are worthy of death and are in need of redemption. And that with the shedding of blood, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. The animal sacrifices in the millennial age will be for the same purpose, but it will be accomplished by looking back in retrospect at what Jesus Christ accomplished, and that He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. It will show what a great price had to be paid for sin. The priestly work performed by Jesus and His brethren will cease at the end of the millennial reign. At that time, a mortal population will no longer inhabit the earth as a result of the second resurrection and judgment. Immortality will be given to the faithful, and the unfaithful will be destroyed, and God will be all in all. His glory shall cover the earth, and the earth shall be the glorious abode of all the righteous forever.